is the Wrestling Brethren Podcast, a show where professional wrestling and sports entertainment is discussed on a weekly basis. There are big event predictions and talk of what is liked and what is loathed. A show that does not cater to any one promotion, but rather welcomes all enjoyable content. With that in mind, here are Seth Zillman, Jared Aubrey, and Josh Wiener, also known as Xandrax, Prime, and your host, Southpaw Josh. Welcome into the final Wrestling Brethren podcast episode of the year 2023. I say final because there's only 3 days left, and God bless him, Tony Khan had to stick in a final pay-per-view with 2 days remaining in the year. So we are here back early from holiday vacation to make predictions and preview AEW World's End. And we will not be covering Zero Hour, largely because one match is a foregone conclusion and the other match is a 20-man battle royal with zero participants named. So We're going to skip those. And we're going to go to the 8-match card that we do have. And I've read the Rampage spoilers, and it doesn't seem like anything was added, but graphics can be thrown up on a screen at any point in time. So if anything gets added, we will cover it offline and add it to our predictions. But with me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. We are here to make our final 2023 predictions. And on this last episode, we are going to do it live, pal. How the hell are you?
Well, closing out the year, only a couple more days, and we get to celebrate the 40th anniversary of 1984, which was probably the best year out of the 80s. So, yeah, I'm all in for some celebrating here.
Cubs went to the World Series that... Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's probably the darkest mark on the entire year.
Yeah. Not to mention 1984 is probably one of the best albums of the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
Yeah. 1984 is great for like movies, pop culture, music, all that stuff.
Yeah. I hope everybody had a great Christmas and we're ready to have an awesome new year as well. 2024 is going to be pretty big, but we got a show to get to and talk about. And we got a match that has like no participants in it. So this should be interesting.
Oh, we're not covering it.
I know.
That's how interesting it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's for stakes. The winner gets a future TNT title shot at any time, anywhere, but zero participants. So number 17 will win. I don't know. All right. Be that as it may, we will get things started with a match that was booked due to injury. And that is because Kenneth Omega is out with diverticulitis. It was supposed to be the Golden Jets taking on Big Bill and Ricky Starks for the AEW tag team titles. And instead of just replacing Kenny Omega and possibly changing the titles to a team that wasn't supposed to have them, we are getting ourselves an 8-man tag team match featuring Sting, Darby Allin, Le Sex Gods reunited yet again of Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, taking on Powerhouse Hobbs, Konosuke Takeshita, Ricky Starks, and Big Bill.
Yeah, all I'll say about Kenny is I've had something similar. I believe what he has is a lot more severe than what I had, but it is not a very fun recovery. So best wishes to him. I do think the good guys will win this match because I think the idea would be to keep Jericho and Omega kind of, not really in the back burner, but it's just like if they're going to keep the feud going, or at least started, really, because they've just had words. I think we should get something to the tune of Jericho pinning one of the tag champions, probably Starks. But either way, I think Jericho's team is winning. We'll see where we go. And also, I can't shake it that maybe, possibly, Guevara might be a double agent. Wouldn't be the first time he's done it. So, but that's not in prediction. That's just my thought on that.
Sammy, Big Show, Guevara. Mm-hmm. Heel turn, face turn, heel turn, face turn.
And by the way, isn't that the most Don Callis thing to do is for kickboxing day or whatever they call it? All the gifts he gives to his friends are involve pictures of him. That's like the most Don Callis thing ever.
Probably one of the best heels going right now, my friend. I think with this one, and I just dumped some drink on my Roadcaster, so I'm going to step away for a sec. But Sting's in it. He's on his retirement tour. This match is pretty meaningless, really. Let's give the baby faces a win here.
Mm-hmm.
In a singles match that is over a year in the making, and just when you thought they forgot about closing this gap or this loop, we are finally here, and we're having a match between a team that broke up, a tag team that broke up over a year ago. So, in a singles match, Swerve Strickland takes on Keith Lee.
Well, I guess it's better that they go back and at least finish something than not doing it at all. I will say I think Strickland is probably the best he's ever been right now, just as far as the body of work he's doing and how the fans have been reacting to him. He's really looking like a true star lately. And usually when you have a new feud, or at least a new returning feud, traditional logic is for the bad guy to win. So I am predicting Swerve Strickland to win this encounter.
I kind of think Swerve needs this one a little bit more, doesn't he? I thought I'd read he's been on a bit of a losing tilt on TV lately. And I know this match is really nothing more than a grudge match. So I'm going to go with Swerve picking up a victory here.
And before I give my prediction for this match, I just realized I didn't give one for the first match. Apparently, because I have them written already, I guess I felt I didn't need to voice them. But for the first match, I'm going with the baby faces. Also because this team has Sting, as Jared said.
Yeah, they've been making a point to say that Sting's undefeated in AEW, so maybe I'll keep that.
Might as well go out that way unless he's going to put somebody over. Mm-hmm. But in this match, I'm going to tell you who should win using introduction themes. Keith Lee's theme right now, the intro is, "Who am I? I am Keith Lee." When his intro should really be, "Who am I? I don't know. You're not on TV." So I'm going with skirt, skirt, swerve, swerve, swerve to win. In another singles match that has a tiny bit of storyline behind it, the Redeemer, Miro, takes on Andrade El Idolo.
I think this one's pretty cut and dry, with Miro finally being with Miro adding and now another element to his Redeemer thing, and the former Lana is part of it. And if I recall correctly, Andrade's contract is up anyway, or at least soon. So it certainly would make sense for Miro to win this one. I guess the only question is whether this is a setup or not, because I think part of the ending of the story is going to be Miro and CJ getting back together. I don't know if this will be the point. Maybe it was a diabolical plan all along. But yeah, either way, I'm picking Miro to win.
it's not likely that CJ will be at this show. She's been hospitalized with a MRSA infection.
Oh, so. Yep. I remember seeing, I saw that picture of her finger. That was pretty nasty.
Yeah. I saw it with it had the thing on it says, this is censored for graphic images, but please click here if you want to click here. And I clicked and I saw the open laceration. I'm like, why? Why did I not heed the warning?
And for those who might not want to look for it, her finger basically looked like a cooked green or red pepper that was cut open afterwards.
It was a spliced open hot dog.
Yeah.
Wow. See, it's a good thing you brought that up. And, you know, I didn't need the graphic imagery, perhaps.
Aren't you glad we're not YouTube yet?
Right.
Look, here's the picture.
Yeah, we could be showing pictures of this and disgusting everybody. Yeah, see, that was going to be my decision, too, is like, is CJ going to turn on Andrade and rejoin Miro? Or is, you know, would she be part of this to screw Miro and further that? So that was a decision to make. But if she's not going to be part of it, and I don't know Andrade's contract status, there's a few folks with contracts, a very notable one to talk about later, and whether that's, and really does, if he resigns, does this match make a difference without Lana there or CJ there? I would like to pick Miro just because I love the character and I love the whole Redeemer thing and he does it so amazing. I'm thinking though that Andrade is going to take this one.
Yeah. Now, I don't have any insider information that CJ won't be there. It's entirely possible she got discharged today or tomorrow or whatever, and she'd have like some kind of, you know, gauze or covering on her hand. But I'm just not going to hold my breath and making her the, you know, decision of who I'm picking in this match. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Miro because it's Miro, and I don't like Andrade, period.
So, see, Josh, I feel the exact same way, but I was trying to use my head and not my heart, but I guess we'll see what happens.
You can go. Hey, you're the predictions leader. You can do what you want, man. You're ahead for a reason. All right. In what has been, I will admit, quite the entertaining tournament. I'm looking forward to next year's version if they do this again. It would be nice if WWE did something like this, but in the finals of the Continental Classic, where the winner becomes a Triple Crown champion consisting of the Ring of Honor World title, the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Openweight title, and the yet-to-be-unveiled Continental Classic title that will compose the Triple Crown Championship. In a match that has been 3 years in the making and has a whole bunch of history involved, Eddie Kingston takes on John Moxley. Eddie Kingston, the winner of the Blue League. John Moxley, the winner of the Gold League.
Yeah, there is quite a story with this match because Moxley and Kingston have been fairly close since Kingston got to AEW. It was in 2020. I think it was right around the time of the pandemic. And obviously I was saying for weeks that the most logical winner should be Kingston because he's the guy that surrendered his titles for the purposes of this championship opportunity, as WWE would call it. But Moxley, of course, since it got that long history, some people say it was too predictable or too boring. All I have to say is, yeah, this is actually the one that makes the most sense because it's got the most logic to it from a storytelling standpoint. Kingston has never beaten John Moxley. And if he doesn't win this tournament, he loses everything. He loses his two titles and has to go home empty handed. So in order to avoid losing everything, he has to face a guy he has never beaten before. I mean, that's about as natural of a story as you can get. But I'm sticking with my original prediction. I think Kingston's winning the belt. Whether it's he's going to be holding three titles or it's all just going to be one, we'll see. But I do have to wonder what's going to happen to the ROH title, if it's still just considered like the top belt in ROH as well.
There's the Kingston side of this story, as you just explained, Seth. And the other thing that I was thinking about for this match is for John Moxley, who is a perennial champion and probably the one of the biggest badasses in wrestling right now, does he need, like, for lack of a better term, to be saddled with lower card belts? Right? Is that the right spot for him? So if you put everything together, as much as I hate to do it, I'm a huge Mox fan, but I'm going to have to go with Eddie.
I wasn't sure Kingston was even going to be in this position because they smartly had him lose his first two tournament matches.
Yep.
He was stuck on 0 points. And at that point, it was like, well, there's no chance in hell he's getting to the finals. But it was booked so beautifully that he is writing this King of the Underdog story. He made it to the finals. He beat Bryan Danielson in the semifinals, another person he had never beaten before, to get to this point to face John Moxley. And what sold me on my pick is the promo immediately afterwards between Mox and Kingston. These two have been best friends. They've been rivals. And if you remember when Eddie Kingston was fighting with the Blackpool Combat Club as a whole, and it got heated when Mox and Kingston got involved backstage, and Rene Paquette said to Eddie, "You fix this." And Eddie's like, "Oh, I'm gonna fix it, all right." And they never really came back to that, and they never really had a match or finished it or whatever. So I think Eddie fixes it here, and I think he vanquishes his final person that he has not beaten before. And in this Cinderella tournament story, he gives up his titles and does not end up losing them and acquires a third one in the process. And it's in Long Island, close to New York, where Eddie is from. And I'm taking the hometown kid, Eddie Kingston, to become a Triple Crown champion. For the AEW TBS title, Julia Hart defends against Abaddon.
On paper, this is probably the least interesting match. But I think any way it goes, I predict Julia to retain. She definitely is one of the hotter rising stars. So I wouldn't think taking the title off her now would be a good idea. Abaddon, it would not surprise me if she'd wind up being in House of Black shortly after this, because obviously she's already got the Dark Monster vibe to her. But yeah, I think this is pretty straightforward. Julia Hart's going to retain.
Yeah, I got to agree. Julia Hart's on quite the roll right now. And is Abaddon really the right challenger at this time? I think they've got to build up Julia a little bit more yet. So I don't think she's losing here at this point. She's going to retain.
Yeah, this is probably the most cut and dry match, or at least outcome, on the whole card. Abaddon couldn't get on TV for the longest time, and now all of a sudden she's challenging on a pay-per-view for a title. So, yeah, I don't think so. So, Julia to retain as well. Flipping networks for the AEW TNT title in a no disqualification match. Christian Cage defends against the Rated R superstar, Adam Copeland.
Again, I think this one's pretty simple. I remember Edge making a mention that the last title he held was the world title he surrendered in, 2011, I think it was. So I do think Edge is winning. It won't be the end of the feud, of course. But putting a title on a guy like that, it's a secondary title, you might say, but Edge is the perfect type of guy to make that title seem more important. I mean, Cody Rhodes, I think, did a great job of making that TNT title feel important. And I think Edge doing a similar thing, having a similar run like that would also be good for the title. So, yeah, I think Adam Copeland's going to win.
Yeah, I think Adam with a little bit of star power is the right spot to take this title to the next step. And, you know, and he just got beat by Christian a little while ago here, so he needs to get his win back, and it's the right spot in the story to do so. I mean, they're doing this build-up, but let's do it in a massive blow-off, angry match. So, of course, the babyface is going to win here. So give Adam the Duke.
Yeah, if Jericho's 0-8 here, we're all going 0-8 with him. So, except for the one match that we disagreed. But I need a Tony Chimmel drop here of the Rated R Superstar.
The Rated R Superstar
to win the TNT title. This is no DQ, so we're probably going to get interference from Killswitch and Nick Wayne and Mama Wayne, who's probably the worst actress in the world. So I don't know who's going to come out and help Adam. That should be interesting. So we will have to see. For the AEW Women's World Title, Timeless Toni Storm defends against Riho.
I think, like Julia Hart, this is the most entertaining Toni Storm has been. She's definitely reinvented herself. And I think just the most logical thing to do right now would be for her to retain. So I am predicting Toni Storm to retain. Could be that Moriah may interfere just to kind of add to that story. But yeah, I think the champ's retaining again.
Yeah, Riho is one of those folks. Well, she's going to help put on a great match. I'm not sure she's in that spot right at this point. And Toni Storm is, this Timeless gimmick is probably one of the best things going on TV right now. I don't think there's any way they take the strap off of her as a result. So I think Tony's going to retain here.
Without any kind of knock on Toni and her character, which, as stated, is great and excellent and entertaining, I just can't buy into anything Riho does. I don't know if it's her stature. I don't know if it's her character or lack thereof. I didn't buy her title reigns. I didn't buy her running in to save somebody. I just don't buy into anything she does. So this is probably going to be my bathroom break, and I'm picking Timeless Toni to retain. And in the main event for the AEW World Title, Maxwell Jacob Friedman defends against Samoa Joe.
Well, I may this may have a couple of people disagree, but I'm fine with that. I think the most logical thing to do, given the story, is for Joe to win the title. I mean, I don't know if we'll get the devil reveal, but MJF's whole shtick for the last 2 years has been to say that, you know, the bidding war of 2024. And in order for us to believe, or at least pseudo kind of sort of believe, that he could be leaving, I think the best way to do that would be to take the belt off of him. I don't know if it'd be injury angle per se or anything like that, but I think Joe's winning the title. I think it's the most logical thing to do at this point.
You know what, Seth? You might have just talked me into it. So I'm thinking, like, this is one of the ones where I don't think we know if MJF has re-signed yet or not. There was rumblings a couple of weeks back that perhaps he has quietly re-signed behind the scenes. Folks, as I was reading today, are still not quite sure whether that's true or not. And have even suggested that he needs some time off to go rest some injuries as well. So if you add all that up, and I'm trying to make this all work because I really want to see Samoa Joe win this one. My original prediction was MJF, but now you got me leaning towards Samoa Joe. So I might end up changing this one, but for right now, I'm going to go with Samoa Joe.
I like how Seth says a couple of people might disagree with me. Well, looks around the room. There's only a couple of other people here. And no, across the board, same. Wow. Here's the thing.
So we all sink or swim together now again.
Well, here's the thing. Well, as far as that goes, Jarrett's the only one who picked differently by picking Andrade earlier. The rest of it is synchronous. Here's the thing, both in story and keeping with the whole contract thing, Samoa Joe has to win. Well, not has to, but it makes more sense if he does. Tony Khan has hinted that the Devil angle will end at World's End. Storyline wise, it needs to. It's taken way too fucking long to get here. The Devil storyline is going to be tied into this with the Devil's masked men just winning the Ring of Honor tag titles on Wednesday. I have a feeling that the Devil will in fact be Adam Cole Bebe. Mm-hmm.
Again, most
the
likely.
Ring of Honor. Yeah. The Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions will be revealed to be the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who was crying wolf too much will instead be crying Adam. And we will get Undisputed Era 3.0. No, I'm just kidding. So, but here's the thing. If Samoa Joe wins the title, you already have the built-in excuse of MJF being severely injured and defending his title way more often this calendar year than he even wanted to in character. And if you want to play up the bidding war of 2024, whether he quietly re-signed behind the scenes or not, why not play into it? You have him lose the title here, step one. You take him off television, step two. You do not bring him back to television, and this is assuming that he's staying with AEW. You do not bring him back to television until the week after the Royal Rumble, because until then, you get speculation of MJF being in the Royal Rumble. Whether or not that can happen, I guess if his contract is expiring versus being terminated or whatever, I guess he theoretically could appear, but why not capitalize on all the speculation? If you bring him back to TV immediately, if his contract really runs out January 1, January 3rd, if I have my calendar correct here, yes, the 3rd is the next Dynamite. If you bring him back on the 3rd, well, obviously he's re-signed or working without a contract, but there's no fun in that. There's no speculation in that. So you dethrone the champ, starts the speculation. You keep him off TV, speculation continues, and he does not appear as we get closer and closer to the Royal Rumble. So, and of course, if he does pick WWE, well, then, you know, he appears at the Royal Rumble. So either way, he's off TV until then. And as Jarrett stated, we all get what we want, and that's Samoa Joe as the world champion. Now, my only problem with that is if he does go to WWE, which I don't think he will, but if he does, then where does this leave Adam Cole and his stable? So who knows? If it's anybody but Adam Cole, I think it will be a giant letdown.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. Just because he's the one that makes the most sense.
And Dolph Ziggler for the Battle Royal, anybody? No? Yes? Okay. Final thoughts.
I think this is going to be another good show. I mean, AEW definitely has a track record of putting on great pay-per-views. I don't think that's me being an AEW fan. I think it's just how it's been. I mean, even the worst AEW pay-per-view is still pretty darn good. So I am excited for this. I don't know if I'll be watch it live due to real-life work commitments, but if this Devil angle payoff is at the show and it's a suitable pay off, you know, like at Adam Cole or whoever, because I don't think we ever got an official time frame on how long Adam Cole was going to be out. So I don't want to put any undue speculation, but if the payoff is like that or something that is satisfying, then this could really be one of those angles that could bring a lot of people to the program. All you really need is one truly hot angle for there to be a big increase in business. So for their sake, I hope it is, just because, you know, I'm a fan of the promotion. I'm a fan of WWE too, of course, but the better both companies do, the better it is for the industry as a whole. So I think it's going to be good. Hopefully I'm not disappointed when it gets revealed, but yeah, I'll definitely be watching this with great anticipation.
This is one of those ones to me that doesn't look super fantastic on paper, especially when we don't even know who's in the battle royal yet. There's some that are going to be some good matches, but it's not top to bottom an outstanding card, I don't think. But like Seth said, AEW usually puts on their working boots. Sorry, trademark Seth. And these usually put on a pretty good show. So yeah, I'm going to watch it, and hopefully I'm entertained, and hopefully we have a new world champion here. So that's what I'm waiting for.
And if we get Samoa Joe as world champion, that ties up his storyline of giving up the Ring of Honor TV title and the longest reign. And it also closes the loop on him saying he was hungry to be a world champion, and now he fulfills his prophecy. And if the devil is Adam Cole, and if the injury is a ruse, then kudos to Adam Cole for jumping off that ramp and making it look legit that he hurt himself when he landed, because I knew immediately that that ankle exploded. But if he did it timed enough, well, like if he faked that, then give that man an Oscar.
I don't think it's faked. I think they just haven't given a time frame because they didn't want people to have a expectation when he could return. What I was meaning is he might have recovered quickly, you know, or however quickly, or better than maybe he would have expected to be. That's what I'm saying, is that I think he really did get hurt, but I think it's possible that he's healed up and done faster than maybe than people anticipated.
Well, he's not John Cena.
Right.
It's not a torn pack.
Yeah.
If his ankle literally exploded, then he's out for a while. Well into 2020. That's why I said he won my comeback person of the year, and he could certainly do it in 2024 as well. I think this show rests on the main event, Eddie Kingston and John Moxley, and throw in the DQ match, and those are your top moments of this show. So we, and of course, if there's any WWE free agents that sign, because you know, according to my AEW roster page here, they have 117 males. Mm-hmm. So you know, what's three more? Let's round it up to 120, shall we? And that includes the ones that can't get on TV. So, all right. That is our episode for AEW World's End. The next time you hear us, it will be in our new format. We will be dropping the episode that reviews Monday Night Raw Day 1 and NXT New Year's Evil. So that will be the next episode that drops. And until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. You can visit us at twbpodcast.com for posts and episodes. Visit the mothership, if you will, at behindthesquaredcircle.com, home of the Behind the Squared Circle Podcast Network. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at The Bacon Rev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax. And you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.